December 11th, 2013. It is 9:06. We are in the temporary LIO in downtown Anchorage on the second floor in the second floor conference room. Is our technology up and running? Okay, we have it all running. Madam Clerk, could you call the roll?
Senator Meyer?
Here.
Senator Bishop?
Here.
Senator Giesel?
Here.
Senator Olson?
Here.
Senator Dunleavy? Senator Fairclough?
Here.
Representative Osterman?
Here.
Representative Herron? Representative Olson?
On the line in Kenai.
Representative
Welcome.
Thanks.
Representative Josephson?
Here.
Representative Stoltz? Representative Kawasaki? Representative Hawker?
Madam Clerk, we have a quorum to conduct business.
Yes. Three representatives, five senators.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Senator Meyer, can I have a motion on the minutes?
Yes, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, I move the minutes from the LBNA meeting on November 25th be approved as presented.
Is there any discussion?
Yes, Madam Chair, a question. I had to leave early from that meeting. I've read the minutes, and I understand that at the conclusion of the matter, you are going to offer the contract to the two gentlemen. Am I correct?
Correct.
Okay. Was there any further action going to be taken in terms of consultants?
Not at this time.
Okay. Thank you. That was my question. Thanks.
Any other discussion on the meeting minutes? Seeing and hearing none, the minutes are approved. Next on the agenda is moving into executive session. Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, I move the committee under Uniform Rule 22 go into executive session for the purposes of discussing confidential audit reports under AS 24.20.301.
Is there any objection? Hearing no objections, I'll ask that the room be cleared, the internet stream, and the teleconference be cleared for the executive session with the exception of Chris Curtis, her staff, and my committee aide, Laura Pierre. With that, we'll take a brief pause.
Recording stopped.
This is the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee. It is December 11th. I already said 10:15 a.m. We did have a bit of a power outage in Juneau, which delayed us coming back in to regular session. We are back on the record. We have a quorum with me in Anchorage, Senator Olson, Senator Bishop, Senator Giesel, myself, Senator Fairclough, Representative Osterman, Representative Josephson, and online, Representative Olson, are you still there?
Yes.
Thank you so much. We have a quorum to conduct business. Senator Giesel.
Madam Chair, I move the following final audits be released to the public. Number one, Department of Administration, Alaska Land Mobile Radio Communication System, and number two, Department of Natural Resources, Alaska Seismic Hazard Safety Commission.
Are there any objections? Hearing no objections, that motion is approved. Next on the agenda is other committee business. First, I'd like to ask our auditor to give us a update on her peer review.
Thank you. For the record, my name is Chris Curtis. I represent the Division of Legislative Audit. I'm very pleased to present to the committee our peer review report for 2013. A peer review is a review of by our peers, members of other state organizations, audit organizations, coordinated through the National State Auditors Association. It's a review of the a system of quality control in place at an audit agency to ensure that audits are conducted and reports are issued in accordance with professional standards. So peer review is required by audit standards every 3 years, and ours was conducted in September. We received the highest rating possible, which is that of pass, which may not seem very exciting, but it is the highest level. If you're looking at your peer review report, it's the last paragraph that has the opinion of our quality control. So what we do is we post this, along with all the other ones we've received over the last 20 years, on our website. Thank you. Congratulations to my staff, who really are the ones to be congratulated.
Are there questions of Chris?
Thank you so much, and we're very pleased that you had the highest success possible. Next, if I could ask my Chief of Staff, Laura Pierre, to join us, I'd like to talk a little bit, to continue the conversation that we had about the new consultants that we're bringing on board to support the legislature in the next session on oil and gas issues, and that is Janet Mayer and Nikos Sakos. Ms. Pierre.
Thank you, Senator Fairclough. For the record, my name is Laura Pierre. I am staff to the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee and staff to Senator Fairclough. As the chair mentioned at the last LBNA meeting, the committee did approve for the chair to go into a sole source contact both with Mr. Mayer and Mr. Sakos. And as a result of that meeting, there was discussion at the end of that meeting talking about the additional expenses, housing, car rental, travel, accommodations for the two of them to be in Juneau the entire length of session at the legislature's disposal. So Senator Fairclough asked me to do some research and come up with a framework of those expenses and an estimate of how much it would cost for them to live in Juneau during the duration of session. So because they are in the process right now of securing a lease for a house to do shared housing versus doing two separate rentals, and because they'll be actually living in a house that has full kitchen amenities, they would be on long-term per diem, and which is $33 a day versus over $140 for short-term per diem. So $33 a day, 90-day session, comes in at just under $3,000. For travel, I looked at travel. If they were to buy tickets today, do round-trip airfare, depending on the airline, it's anywhere, or it's around $1,000, could be $1,200, just depends. So we just did an estimate of $2,100 for travel, which for the two of them for D.C., Juneau. The accommodations. The house they're looking to rent and secure a lease with is $3,000 a month split between the two of them, so $1,500 each per month. And a rental car, again, that was just an estimate based on what I could find with a discounted rate, where the state can get a negotiated discounted rate. It's about $1,200 per month for one car. They're not getting two vehicles. So. And then on top of that also, one requirement for the house that they'll be renting is, I think we all can somewhat relate to, is they have to fill the oil tank upon moving out of the house, which is an estimate from the landlord is about $1,500. So the total we came up with based on all of those items is $13,000 each for expenses for the 90-day session, so a total of $26,000.
So in comparison, if we put them in a hotel room and then paid on top of that and have them in a hotel for $150 a day, which we've done before, that's $13,500 for one person in one room. So $13,000 to put them in a rental unit and cover their costs seems very reasonable. And I got that by multiplying 150 times 90 days. Representative Osterman.
Is this normal standard if you have a contract with somebody that you pay them a flat fee to come and do work for you, that you end up then paying their expenses as well, or is that part of negotiated contracts?
In the last contract that we had with PSC Energy,
as an example of a raid. Ms. Pierre, when we brought folks up, we cover everything when they're here. It's in the fee that they provide us, their hourly rate at 20, or a day rate at 2,800 up to 7,500 a day is what we've been paying.
Plus
travel and accommodations to get to us. Ms. Pierre?
Sure. Madam Chair, through the Chair, Representative Osterman, the way our, we've never, under Senator Freckle and the contract that I recall from previous LBNA chairman, we haven't actually done a flat amount for a contract. We've allowed for up to a certain amount on a contract. So I think PSC Energy's contract was $1.7 million. On top of the $1.7 million, so the way they billed was on a daily rate, depending on who was working on the contract. So I know Janik Mayer, his daily rate was $2,400 a day. Their senior level directors and managers were upwards of $4,500 up to $5,600 a day. And that was just for time, though. That didn't include their housing accommodations when they were in Juneau, their travel to Juneau, their rental car while in Juneau, as well as their per diem. So all of it adds up well beyond, we feel, $13,000. So we feel that Senator Verkoff feels that this is a fair deal to move forward in this fashion versus...
It was a $250,000 flat fee per contractor that we're hiring into. And then we've tried to... $500,000 total for the two of them. And we said we would pay for, in the scope of work that they asked us to consider, was that we would pay for all of their travel expenses and housing expenses. Is that accurate?
And per diem as well.
And per diem so that they were here.
Has the contract been signed at this point?
No, we're in negotiations. I just received feedback. I met with them on teleconference on Monday to talk about the issues that were raised with this committee and negotiating into their scope of work to make sure that we're utilizing them and get our money's worth and the bang for our buck.
Just to add to that, through the Chair, Representative Josephson, we are taking into consideration the comments from the committee. Something that we are doing is building in benchmarks, having actual work that they have to show us in order to receive payment.
That's great.
Yeah.
Because I it's unclear what is going to happen in the next session. And I've had some concerns about, you know, as we all do, about how the state's spending its money. And I want to make sure. I mean, clearly, if we're going to be heavily into the large diameter gas line and decoupling and those things, they're going to be working 15 hours a day. But if not, I hate to hear them make an argument that they waived other opportunities and therefore the money's due.
One of the issues in utilization of their contract is this notion that Alaskans may choose to invest and take on some risk to actually provide opportunity for a gas line to go forward. And so we're working on the scope of work to include that kind of discussion. The governor's been out there saying that Alaska may want to take some kind of an ownership interest. And if we do, this committee wants to make sure that the people of Alaska, as well as legislators, know what the risk is or the reward benefit possible from investment at different points along that chain of opportunity, as well as what are the risks associated with that. So we are trying to absolutely use every dollar very carefully for public benefit for the discussion. Representative Osterman?
So $500,000 is the max that we'll spend. That was the limits that we put on the contract.
$500,000 plus expenses.
So we could pay them the full $500,000 plus pay them their living expenses while they're there.
Correct.
I have a problem with that, but that's me being frugal, I guess.
Senator Giesel.
Madam Chair, I'm looking at the minutes on page 3, and it says not only the $250,000 to be provided, but the contract apparently will run through January 31 of 2016. So this is a full year's contract, and we could potentially be using them in the fall that year of the 2014, et cetera.
Senator Diesel, that is correct, but the scope of work for the flat fee to secure these two contractors with their expertise is the $250,000. It would be back in front of this committee for any other work. And so if we wanted to utilize them in the fall, we would establish a day rate and pay more or not. And to address specifically Representative Osterman's concern, this is low compared to what we paid PSC Energy.
If I could just clarify what Senator Diesel asked.
Senator Bishop.
We've locked, if we concur, we've locked them in for a year. We're getting 90 days for a half a million. And anything above and beyond that 90 days, we'd have to renegotiate on it on a daily rate.
That is correct, Senator Bishop. Ms. Pierre.
Through the chair, Senator Bishop, what we're currently, as Senator Fairclough stated, we're currently in a negotiation with the contract. Something that, in a conversation that the two individuals have agreed to, is to enter into a contract that is for an entire year. However, the amount that was approved by the committee would just be for the length of this legislative session in 2014. Beyond that, we would negotiate a daily rate, which we plan to secure in this contract, so they don't have us on the barrel per se, and it's something we don't have to negotiate later. We can do that now and have it in the contract now.
Good. I'm glad to hear you say that, because we don't know we could be in a special session, and we want to make sure we get the best bang for our buck. So kudos to you guys for thinking outside of
this contract only covers regular session.
For the chair, Representative Osterman, yes, it's the amount that's specified in the contract, the $500,000 and the $13,000 each expenses, is for the 90-day session. There would be a daily rate beyond that, or potentially the committee, we could negotiate another flat fee if they wanted to.
Thank you. You should know also, right now we're not paying them for anything, and they're having to do everything that you've instructed me to do at the last committee meeting to have it ready to go on day one of this session. So their models, we've written into the contract liability concerns that the committee, some committee members have raised with me, whether the models are proprietary, whether the gas symposium information is ours, it is. And so we've taken that after the initial contract was modeled after we've had discussions this past Monday, then we're running it back through our legal department to make sure that the state is held harmless on all of those things. And so I just want you to know, when you're looking at the 90 days, that clock already started ticking as far as what they're doing for us. They are already engaged in the market, gathering the data that they need to be prepared to fulfill their scope of work. So you can look at the 90 days and say that's all you're getting, but it's much broader than that. We've already sent them on a mission and just starting to establish that contract and the dialogue with what we expect them to be prepared to discuss. Is that fair, Ms. Pierre?
Yeah, Madam Chair, I think that's fair. The only thing I would add is another reason why we felt it was necessary to have the contract run through January 31st, 2014 is to secure them so that they aren't conflicted out, because that's something that we have run into with several different consulting agencies, is that they're conflicted out and we wouldn't be able to secure them for work like this. So being able to secure these two individuals for a long-term period, they won't be conflicted and we'll be able to use them, essentially.
Thank you, Ms. Pierre. And specific on that issue, that's what I've asked them to go back and review to make sure that there is no conflict, because an issue was raised by a committee member last time, which is exactly the challenge we have in securing someone to provide us information, that it's limited because the larger companies have multiple people that they consult with. So we also are trying to negotiate in, and I think that it will be successful, multi-year to be able to extend the contract. If you have somebody up and running and they're ready to go and performing how we want them to, we want to make it seamless for the next chairman to be able to go forward and continue those folks on contract with us. Representative Osterman.
The full-year contract doesn't limit them to doing other work. They besides stuff that was not conflict with the state of Alaska and the work we were trying to do. So if we don't hold special session or we don't have committee meetings or we don't require them during that period of time, they could be out making another $500 million or $500,000 or whatever else.
Through the chair, Representative Osterman, yes, that's correct.
I'm sure they would like to make that much money. I'm not sure it's out there, but anyway, I appreciate that conversation. We absolutely need to look carefully at every dollar that we are spending and are investing on behalf of Alaskans. Is there any further discussion on the expense amount of $13,000 per person during the course of our upcoming 90-day session? You've heard that in the affirmative, 90 days. Senator Diesel.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I move and ask unanimous consent that the committee, in addition to the approved professional services contract of $500,000 from our November 25th meeting, that we also approve $26,000 for session expenses to be split between the two consultants.
Thank you. Are there any objections? Hearing no objections, the motion is approved. I have one other item that I'd like to bring before the committee. And that's the a discussion about securing an actuary for the committee as well as the legislature's use in the upcoming session. I've heard, as I'm sure you have, the governor propose a $3 billion transfer from, I believe it's the Constitutional Budget Reserve, to the Armed Board. And I think that's very important to Alaskans to make sure that our systems are whole and that they're funded and that people receive the benefits that they're due, entitled to. And so I just like a brief committee discussion, because we are coming into the holiday season, I'd like to start going down, at least preparing an RFP to try to secure someone per se on our side of the table to take a look at the numbers and talk to us about health care costs and about retirement. And be able to do that. So are there thoughts from other committee members about an actuary to engage either on a flat fee or a rate basis? You know, I'm happy to put that RFP out however the committee would direct me to do. Is there any conversation? Do we think it's a need? Yes, Senator Bishop.
I concur with your comments. I'd just like to further say that in the scope of the RFP, that we use all assets to find the best of the best on this type of a monetary decision going forward. So somebody with a great track record that's respected throughout the financial markets.
Senator Diesel, did you have?
No, it's simply that I agree.
Representative Osterman?
I agree. I think we need to have, we've got to have somebody that's going to tell us exactly what's going on First Insurance to get us to a point where we can make some final.
So with the committee's support, then I will ask my Chief of Staff, Laura Pierre, staff to this committee, to research to see what a number might be, and we'll bring it to you in January as far as the number goes. But we'll start drafting an RFP. We'll work through our legal department. We'll try to get recommendations, as Senator Bishop asked, where we would look for the best of the best when it comes to actuarial, looking at a retirement, because I believe there are expertise. There are people that are expert in health, and there are people that are expert in retirement pension funds. So we may need both. I'll just put that out there. We may need both for two different discussions, one at the Armed Board, and I believe it's Senator Dunleavy. He's not at the table today, but he has that pooling bill that's out there, and if we were going to look at that, that might require a different expertise that I certainly would want to know the dollar impact of any kind of pooling and have somebody, you know, it might be the Hay Group that already, that report was released, if you don't know, yesterday, so it might be someone outside of that. I can look to our own legislative auditor to see if she has suggestions for us on who we might go to or whether they can do it internally for us. But anyway, I just wanted you to know what I was thinking about the issues that are new on the table that could impact our finances and our ability to make those monthly installments. Representative Josephson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I guess one question I would have is, how this expert, as compared to an oil and gas expert, which is a unique niche, figures vis-a-vis David Teal's office. That is, I think I'm inclined to say, yes, we need an actuary. But certainly there would be somebody at the Legislative Finance who does this as well, and I'm just wondering if there's some redundancy there or...
I think that that's a very good perspective. I actually spoke with David Teal about this, and he's the one who said, you know, the legislature might want to bring on an actuary. Those are his numbers. The issue, as I understand it, with the expertise is they know what's affecting the system, and so they have a unique perspective on each question, on all the criteria that is moving the needle inside of that issue. And so health, even though that's one issue that has a continuum that the Hague Group have actuaries for, when I was in a briefing with them yesterday, they said, actually, then there is an expert on retirement systems. And so they probably could tell us better how they're different and why we would require hiring two. But my understanding is that they're different, and they provide different expertise for us to consider in perspective and policy choices.
Well, just as a quick aside, watching TV, as I sometimes do, I mentioned the city of Detroit at one point. Michigan also has constitutional protection for public employees. We're far from this, but I note the sensitivity and importance of this. The federal district judge there said federal bankruptcy law is supreme, and we don't have to recognize that. And we never want to have that day and be anywhere near it in the state of Alaska. We want to honor these obligations. So I think it's vitally important.
Representative Osterman.
I think there's other questions that we probably need to have an answer to is what is our legal obligations as legislators and as to the person. As long as we have a legal obligation to pay it, do we have to pay it off for 20 years? Or do we, those kind of questions that put me in a position of wanting to know what kind of payments I could be making on a yearly basis rather than some arbitrary number that Arms Board, who doesn't have an actuary working for them, has come up with to tell me, or David Teal, saying, oh, so you're fine, you can continue to pay it down. I don't know. I mean, it's I'm not a lawyer, and obviously some of these questions really get into constitutionality issues that are out there, and I don't know how we... An actuary is going to come in here and say, okay, now you're fine, continue to make the payments you're fine. I don't know.
Thank you, Representative Osterman. I think that what I'm asking you, and it sounds like we need the expertise, is that we have legislation that will be before the legislature to discuss. And we want to have the best information possible. That's the role of this committee. We hire and manage contractors to make sure that if an issue is going to rise to the level of a policy discussion, that the people of Alaska, as well as members of the legislative body, have a good representation out of an industry as possible to make the best policy choice for the people. And so, for me, I would just say that to that end, I believe that we need an actuary to be able to talk to us specifically about pensions, for sure, because at least our governor has proposed a move of $3 billion, which is significant. And there are different people with different perspectives on whether that is the right thing to do, a hybrid of the right thing or the wrong thing to do, depending on a particular set of criteria. So I would ask for the committee's support in letting an RFP, and that we'll come back to you in January with whatever that amount is to be approved, and we'll work with any of your suggestions on whom we might solicit to receive that expertise, and we will provide to you what we believe that expertise will, how it will benefit the legislature through their scope of work. So happy to work with you all along the way. Is there any objections to that course of action? Representative Olson, are you still online?
Yes, ma'am.
Do you have any objections to moving forward and pursuing an actuary for the legislature on specifically the retirement issue?
No problem at all, but I certainly hope it's not Mercer.
your power outage when you were on mute, unfortunately that sentiment was raised in the room here in Anchorage.
Oh, okay. Well, then we're on the same page now, since, in fact, we ought to put high limits on the errors and omissions. I think we got $500 million out of Mercer for their problem. So when you draft it, you might want to have a fairly significant limit of errors and omissions coverage.
Ms. Pierre is writing that down, Representative Olson. But it is an RFP process that would be open to the general public, and I'm sure if they're interested in doing business with Alaska, we might see a proposal. So we'll put together an RFP committee at that particular point in time. But
if I could make one recommendation, probably call Mike Barnhart and see what they're using in other contracts on the limits.
So noted. We will do that. And then we will... Again, I just want to make sure that I have the direction and the support of the committee. Do we believe with the pooling issue that's before us that we should look at the availability of someone to discuss health care issues? And I personally can't tell you right now if there's a huge difference. I've just been led to believe that there is, that it's a different person and a different expertise. It could be the same company, though. So we could write it in the RFP to provide actuary services from one company for both issues. So we'll explore that more and give you an update in January.
That makes
sense.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, I got a feeling we're going to be revisiting this issue a number of times during the session.
Representative Olson, that is my thought, and I just want us prepared as well as possible for those discussions. With that, is there anything else to come before the committee? Hearing no other discussion, that concludes our business for today. Seeing none, can I have a motion to adjourn?
Madam Chair, I move the committee adjourned.
The committee is adjourned at 10:45. Thank you so much for participating. Thank you for calling online, Representative Olson.
No problem.